been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Play Music, and Satchel. We have a supersized show for you this week. We are going to be covering the Steelers and the Browns all in one episode. But let's start it off with some good news. The Steelers lost in Pittsburgh. What a wonderful feeling. I mean, you went to work on Monday. You felt good about the week, didn't you? I know I did. So joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm fantastic, and I got something to ask you or something to say. You ready?
Let's hear it.
What did I tell you? This ain't the same Ravens.
Yeah, I think you're stealing a line there. Yeah,
just like Weddle did.
Wait, wait. I gotta hear your feet tapping, just like Eric Weddle right before he did his press conference.
All right, ready?
Let's hear it.
Did my little happy dance. Man, was he excited, and, dude, rightfully so. This team just went up there and just wow. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and you know, explode with excitement and, this team exceeded expectations because they did leave something on the table there. But just the way this game went and the result, they just went up there and just took care of business and just said, you know what, we're keeping pace. And what happened earlier in the day, with Cincinnati coming back last minute against the Falcons, which I really thought the Falcons were going to beat them, so they have no defense down there in Atlanta. So this is kind of like, I remember last week we broke it down. Me and you were like, maybe it's an important slash must win against Denver. Now it was kind of a must win for me going into the game Sunday night for the Ravens. I'm kind of like, no, they got to win this game. This is like a playoff game in week four. And dude, I'm telling you right now, we got an offense, brother.
Not just that. We have an offense. We have a defense. Everything seems to be coming together for this team. I know it's only week four and there's plenty of games left. You never know what's going to happen. But, I mean, the Ravens looked pretty dominant. Of course, you know, there was the fumble by Alex Collins, which we'll be addressing as well. But, my God, Joe Flacco to John Brown. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to get tired of seeing these two guys play together because, whoo! I mean, smoking Joe, that's what it felt like. And just John Brown, I know he's had his injury problems in the past. Hopefully he's okay. That's what, you know, a lot of teams stayed away from him. But this is why the Ravens took a chance on him, because look at the upside. This is a solid football player right here.
And he's emerging as the true number one right now. We thought it could have been Crabtree. But what this team is, they still spread the ball around where – And not only what's going on there, but we've seen the translation from training camp to preseason to now the regular season. Because remember, in training camp, and I was there present in Emily's Mills a few times, and John Brown was pressing, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to temper expectations because it's against our defense, it's practice. In the regular season, we've seen some flashes, and I'm like, you know what? He could be Flacco's favorite target, And dude, it's emerging week four. The dude's on fire, and not only that, but he's been in the fantasy discussions. So it's been really funny how Flacco and Smoke. I mean, hey, I played him, and he got 20 fantasy points for me. You know, so you know it's translating on that. So it's been pretty awesome to watch. But how explosive, you know, coming out of the gate, just airing it out, and he could have had a second touchdown, but. Dude, he's a burner. He just blew by those defenders. They split those double defenders for a touchdown. And then Flacco went right to him again when that first play was like a play action, and then he stepped up in a pocket and just aired it out, which set up a would-be score, but it never happened that way. But, man, dude, and there's a lot of role players, but not only that, man, But how about the tight ends? There's no true number one tight end where he's still using his guys. You know, Max Williams came out of nowhere. I mean, we thought this guy was an afterthought. Like, okay, he's kind of like the Breshad Perryman of the tight end guys. Like, we drafted him. It's been a few years. He ain't done nothing. He's wasting roster space. And then he's been a focal point in this offense. Granted, now that Hurst was down, but we're seeing the fruits of the labor of, number one, the players are staying healthy, but two, Flacco's getting everybody involved. And I really have to give it to just everybody making plays, man. I really – there's a lot of favorite moments in this game, but the offense just – they just went down. And, dude, when we were up 14-0, I'm like, dude, there's no answer that they got right now. I mean, this was kind of like – again, you know, we knew when Pittsburgh came back, but just – You had to think, really, what if, again, in Pittsburgh? I mean, me and you have watched some of these games unfold together, and you had to feel it when they went right down there, and we're on, you know, John Brown caught the pass, and then, you know, we're first and going the one, and it was like right there, man, and Alex Collins put the ball on the ground, and even after that, you know, I know I could probably know what you're feeling at that point, but even that, I'm like, okay, well, we got a great defense. They're pinned deep. Maybe they get one first down, then punt it. We'll get the ball back, but they march right down the field. And at that point, I'm like, really? It just was one of those moments that you can't give the Steelers any room. And when you do, this is what happens.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, the NBC people, if you were watching it on TV, they were talking about how this was going to be a shootout, a slugfest. JR would say a slobber knocker, if you will. And after that fumble, it looked like that's what it was going to be. The Ravens were leading. They were looking great. That fumble happened, and they were kind of like, all right, this is where Pittsburgh comes back. You can never make a mistake against a Pittsburgh team like this. And in the past, yeah, that was true, but the Ravens made a mistake. Alex Collins, who has had this problem in the past, Harbaugh has come out and said that they're going to work on it. I thought, you know, they worked on it last year, but it still seems to be a problem with Alex Collins. But the Ravens were able to overcome that and come back with a win do what they had to do. But let's talk about that fumble by Alex Collins. Yes, it wasn't the end of the world, and the Ravens answered back, which you always want to see, but that is a problem with Alex Collins. We saw it last year. I mean, there's a really good chance that's why he got cut in Seattle. That's why, you know, he barely made the team for the Ravens. I mean, he made it to the practice squad last year before Terrence West got hurt, and then he became our number one guy. Can the Ravens count on Alex Collins, you know, long term? Because this seems to be a problem that he's always going to have. It doesn't seem to be going away.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the long term, and to answer that, you know, in discussing it, I think, yeah, the Ravens can still count Alex Collins. Because, look, Alex kind of got benched at that point, and you've seen a lot of Buck Allen, but then he came back in a game, and he had some good runs. And at one point, I did see him go to the sideline, and he had both arms and hands on that football. So it's teachable, it's coachable. You know, a fumble and holding on the football, that's just going over to practice going, look, you got to take care of the football. That's nothing like, you know, we've always said, you know, giving Breshad Perryman chances, speaking of catching and fundamentals, it's like, okay, he's just catching football, can be coachable. Then there's a point. But it's not like Alex Collins fumbles every game. I mean, he's had his share, and there are concerns there, but I feel like we can still count on him going forward because my frustration is with Buck. He cannot penetrate that line. He's a small back. And Alex Collins is more physical. I've seen there were some couple runs where Alex Collins would lower his shoulder and his head, and he would kind of bulldoze his way. We need that hard physical runner, and especially in the AFC North, man, if you want to make a statement and even go deep in the playoffs, I feel like, you know, Allen, and then he's going to get hurt. We're already thin at that position with Ken Dixon going down. So, yeah, I think we need him there. And you have to show that. And I remember this, and he's a different type of back, but Kareem Hunt of the Chiefs last year. Remember last year he came in as a rookie. His first carry as an NFL running back was a fumble. Andy Reid sat him a few times, and he had a career debut against the Patriots that night. He balled out, dude, and he's been great for him since. So I've seen that. I mean, you know, everybody gets on everybody. I mean, it happens. You know, so – But I feel like against the Steelers in any game, you take the Steelers out of it, put any opponent there, Patriots, Jaguars, whatever may have you, you can't put the ball on the ground and give it to the opposing team on the 1 yard line when you're about to go up 21-3. It went from 21-3, Brandon, to 14-3, and then 14-6, and then ultimately they tied it. So it was kind of like that. Oh, there's that vaunted play that we didn't want, and then they left another one on the field, which could have been a 28 points at that point. And credit, it wasn't Joe's fault. So I don't, and I, again, I didn't see any negativity about it, but don't even start with the Joe hate, because it wasn't his fault. He had the pressure. He even eluded it, sidestepped it, and tried to get it to Crabtree. Crabtree was wide open all the way down the right sideline, and if he had caught it, he was gone. But unbeknownst, give credit to Steelers, they had the pressure on Joe, and Joe couldn't get it to him, and Crabtree broke free. But there's the plays that we left on the field and left the door open. But I don't know what it is about the Ravens, bro, but – I mean, they didn't come out of gate losing, obviously. They had the lead the whole time, and then there was a tie, so they never lost the lead the whole game. But regardless of this game, I don't know what it is about this team, if it's this year, last year, years past, but this team seems to be a second-half team where they made the adjustments, and they say enough's enough. You know, I always go back to the AFC title game. You know, in 2012, when they were playing the Patriots for the rematch, you know, it was a close game at that point, and the Ravens came down and said, you know what, nothing, and the Patriots didn't score a single point. It was 13-7, I believe, at halftime in the favor of the Patriots, and the Ravens came out and scored three touchdowns in the second half, and then won 28-13 at that point, and the Ravens said, enough's enough. It's like they clamped down. They kind of settled down against Denver last week, if you remember. You know, they started off a little shaky. Oh, no, the block punt, and excuse me, Freeman takes it in. They're down 7-0, and then they're down 14-7, and they said it's enough, and Denver couldn't get nothing done for the rest of the game. And I was just so impressed with the weapons that Pittsburgh has on the road. They made a statement and said, you know, I mean, you're talking about a Ben Roethlisberger offense who threw for over 400 yards passing a week prior, and he threw four touchdowns in one game already, and he's got near 1,400 yards, and you're telling me that they just absolutely just shut them down? Again, this ain't your same Ravens, dude, but when you make a mesh top five offense, a top five defense like they have, it's lights out, man. It's like they're going to go in any war right now with any team and say, bring your best shot, because the Ravens, they're very, very dangerous right now in the AFC and in this division. And, dude, against Pittsburgh, that was a statement on national TV. They didn't come out just sluggish like they did Thursday night against Cincinnati. They came out and said, we're going to hit you square in the mouth, and they came out guns blazing, dude. It was great.
And the defense looked absolutely incredible against Pittsburgh. I think it's kind of funny that you're reading that Le'Veon Bell is actually going to be reporting to the Steelers this week after that performance against the Ravens. I think you know, it's kind of interesting. That's what he's choosing to do, and what they're choosing to do,
and bring him back. I'm not concerned. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that it would have been a lot closer game, or Pittsburgh would have won it if Bell was in?
I think that's what Pittsburgh's saying. I don't think it would have made a real difference. But
I don't. It's hard to say. Bell's a playmaker, and he's killed us. I've always dubbed him as the Raven Killer, not Brown, because there was a time Bell had like 160 yards and two touchdowns against us at one point, and it was like, he's dangerous because he can catch the ball in the backfield. Dude, we shut down James Conner. Do you know what James Conner did? Did you see the final stat line?
No, what did he do?
19 yards rushing, and at home, yeah, 19 yards. And he did what, week one, he had 190 and two touchdowns. I could not help but laugh. That was the Ravens held the Steelers 19 yards rushing as a team, whether it was Connor or a combination. And I feel like it was all Connor because they don't have a backup, but they had, as a team, 19 yards rushing, the lowest total for a Pittsburgh Steelers football team at home for them since 1952. You can thank the Ravens for that.
52,
huh? That's just, dude, you can't just help but just jump for joy and get excited about that. But not only that, but how about, we talked about it on the Purple Friday preview about how they're going to deal with Brown and his playmaking ability, but did you see what they did and Brown the whole game?
What did they do? Walk us through it.
Well, they shadowed him. What they did, Marlon was on lockdown, and what they'd always do is they shadowed his safety, so you always were doubling him, and he really couldn't break it out. The only big play he had was that game, you know, or essentially the game-tying touchdown. They had to hit the two-pointer, but he broke free, and it was a great play. It was a one-on-one play. Ben threw it up, and Brown did what Brown does. He caught it. So he made a great football play. He's one of the greatest receivers right now, so you can't help but tip your hat to that. But he was relative, other than that, it was quiet. He didn't run amok. He didn't get 200 receiving yards. He wasn't gangbusters. You know, he was on lockdown. So the Ravens, and tip your hat to Wink Martindale, he called a great game plan for that and had a plan of attack. But when you hold the Pittsburgh Steelers to 47 total yards in a second half and scoreless, the Ravens just shut down. And I don't know about you, but I had the sense of kind of frustration building because we kept getting field goals. And when we got the 6 points out of those field goals, and I'm like, oh, here they go. They're going to sit, because at that point, when it was 20-14, at that point, we kicked the second field goal out of four. And I'm like, dude, this reeks of Pittsburgh's going to get that drive. They're going to go up one. The towels are going to start. Renegades are going to start. Crowd's going to get to it. And here we go. And we're going to implode. I was kind of waiting for that. I wasn't speaking it, because I've always said you speak negativity happens. But I kind of was just like thinking, like, dude, you can't let this team hang around. Put them away. But as that half went on and Pittsburgh could not do anything against his defense, we shut him out. Then we got the ball, and it was that closing mentality. The Ravens got first down after first down, got the third down conversions, and they were turning in. Then when they went up 9 points, it was like, now it's two scores. They get the touch and a two. We're still up one. Now I feel more comfortable. And then they just clamped it down and kicked that fourth one. It was game over at that point. And it just, as that half went on, man, you can just sense it building. Like, I was getting frustrated, but then I felt a little bit more at ease because we were just flawless on defense against them. I mean, we had a great game plan dialed up, and we held them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and just it was just huge, man. This win was just huge in all ramifications because we're 3-1 now. We got the swagger. Dude, how about you? But I woke up, dude, Monday morning, and dude, I mean, I'm on vacation recording this week, but you wake up Monday morning with that swagger, and you're like, what now? What? Come on, come at us. And, dude, it's just a fantastic feeling to come away in Pittsburgh. And I talked to, you know, my buddy Chris. He went there for the first time. It was his first taste of road game, and he's been to Pittsburgh. And I said, bring back the W. I called him on Monday, and I said, brother, you bring that big fat W right back home, buddy. And it was great, man. It was just awesome. It's just the silence, the crowd, silence the towels, and silence the haters, man. Well, I know we had some doubters there. No one really gave us a chance. The media was all over Pittsburgh, and you know how that goes. And the Ravens just, man, in sheer fashion, I'm just tickled to death right now the way this team's buzzing. But just on that, there were some key plays I wanted to go over, if you sensed that. But did you see, it wasn't who we thought that were making a plays, but did you notice that there was a kind of an unsung hero that made a huge third down conversion to Tim White? Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was Tim White. You know, it was third, I think it was third and 10 at that point, and Tim White caught it for a first down. I said, who's, and we were like, who's 14? I was like, no, it's Tim White. Tim White was in mix of the offense. Obviously, he's our special teamer. He was in the mix catching a first down, and it was crazy. And but another play, and Snead had a couple of good ones too. And I feel for Crabtree. He had still, you know, he had his game. He's contributing, but it's still a winning effort on that front. But one play I really just can't get enough of is, and I didn't catch it at first. I didn't catch it actually this morning when I was looking online, looking at some of these things here. And there was a play. I forget what down it was. I don't know if it was third or fourth down, but it was a play where Max Williams caught it for 22 yards. Did you see how that play developed at all?
No,
you remember that play?
Tell us all about it.
But apparently he, and I missed it, he was lined up as a lineman. So they had, and this is awesome to Marty, man. How many times did we pretty much scrutinize Marty for bad play calling and all that? But when you give Marty some playmakers and a new look offense, this is what happens. And this is the creativity of Marty, which really is, I wouldn't say uncharacteristic because that's his thing, but it's refreshing to see, because in four games, I feel like Marty has called a crazy good four games right now for the offense. Really, really solid. I have no complaints there. But there was a play, Max Williams. He had Max Williams lined left. next to the center, Mascara. Then all of a sudden, Flacco rolls out to his right, and Max Williams breaks free. Flacco finds him in the flat, and he runs it 22 yards up the field. That's a creativity of Marty that's being gone unnoticed, and you have to tip your hat to him. And this is what, you know, what we've been trying to get to see is the creativity and the playmakers, and we've seen the whole Lamar package again. And Lamar had a crucial run to convert on a first down. So right now, Marty's calling a great game. Defense is flying high right now. Dude, I don't know anybody right now who has a more complete team in the AFC. It's just, it's fantastic.
100%. And before we close out our talk on the Steelers, did you see after the game that Terrell Suggs and Ben Roethlisberger actually exchanged jerseys, and Ben signed his jersey for Sizzle? Is that a sign that these two might not be facing each other much longer? I kind of took it as maybe this is Big Ben realizing that his career is, you know, maybe coming to an end, and we might not see him on the field next year.
I mean, it could be one of those signs if you really want to look into that. At this point, I mean, and you hear it. You remember, you know, even this season and last year, Ben was to complete retirement. Is Ben done? And I mean, this could be Suggs' last year as a Raven. I don't think it is. If we go out and win the whole thing, I say he retires, pulls a Ray Lewis and retires. I don't think he'll do the whole announcement. This is it. He has a lot left in the tank. He said at the beginning of the year, you know, I feel like he could have another year. Maybe the Ravens give him a one-year deal to come back. I don't think – it's really hard to say, man. I mean, we're in the midst of this year, but it is a good point to ask it. I look at it as I mean, again, these guys are on the last length of careers. I don't think neither of them will play beyond the next 2 or 3 years. So they could be, they're going to be in Hall of Fame within, you know, next 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years. So, you know, both of them deserve the Hall of Fame. It's just, it's awesome. But now I think right now it's more of a respect thing. And you're right, because both are winding down the careers, that who knows after this year, once they play that home game on November 4th here in Baltimore. You know, granted, how the Steelers look in a month if they don't make the playoffs, and if we're riding high towards that mark, you know, it could be the last time that Suggs does it. And he had him dead to rights a couple times on Sunday, but, and they said it before, and we all know the whole spiel here. Suggs against Ben, he has 17 career sacks, I believe, the most active among any player, and it's tied in with postseason, regular season. So Suggs has had. And he always says he's owned him and he's behind him. But did you see what he did inscribe on that jersey?
Didn't Ben say something along like, it's been an honor playing you, first ballot Hall of Famer, or something like that?
Yeah, he said, I'm actually trying to look it up. Here it is. So Roethlisberger signed his exact jersey, and he says, Sizzle, it's an honor to compete against you, first ballot Hall of Famer, and he signed it, Ben Roethlisberger. That's awesome, man. And that, and again, that's respect. I mean, there's the players you hated. Like, you know, I hated – there's a list of players that I really just really hated in this rivalry. Ben, I've hated, but I've always had that respect for him. And what that play was that I had the respect for him was when Haloti Ngata, you know, and it was inadvertent, but when – and it was that crazy game here when Haloti Ngata somehow got his – I guess his fingers or his hand inside the helmet of Ben and broke his nose. Dude, you're talking about a broken nose. I'm thinking, I don't know about you, but if somebody breaks my nose, I don't know if I'm going back in a football game. And you talk about like the NHL and what these guys endure, and you're talking about the wussification of football, but you're talking Big Ben had his nose broken and it comes back in a game and the Steelers won that game. To me, that was the respect factor for me. It was like, all right, I hate you, but I got to shake your hand, dude, because you're tough as nails in it. And in the division as we are and how physical this rivalry is, that's one moment that I was like, you know what? I got to tip my hat to you, dude. As much as I really hate this guy, you have to hand it to him. And this is the respect factor between Suggs. And remember the whole – the exchange, remember the Maha Miracle and all that, but then Ray Lewis went on and Peyton Manning lost. And I remember the whole thing, Peyton congratulating Ray and meeting him in the locker room and all that, and really tipping your hat. So there are true professionals out there, and it's a sign of mutual respect. And you heard Weddle, You know, he said, you know, he, you know, apart from this week's rivalry, he said he knows Ben. He talks to him on a weekly basis, and they text a lot. So, I mean, these players, even though they are bitter rivals in a division, it's not like they're sharing secrets here. I mean, you know, it's just the way it goes. But, yeah, that was an awesome, awesome sign of respect between these two, and they are winning now careers, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. Let's talk about what's coming up on Sunday. The Ravens are traveling to Cleveland up against the Browns, and this is a different team than we saw at the beginning. Let me first off, I know you go on, you know, different stadiums. You try to pick like one or a year or whatever to kind of visit a new stadium when the Ravens are there. Have you done Cleveland before?
No, not. I've done Pittsburgh, just not Cleveland.
I went on vacation to Cleveland this past summer for my birthday. Let me tell you, dude, that city is actually pretty cool. I was going there. I wanted to see the Christmas Story house for my birthday, and I was just kind of like, hey, you know, it's only an hour flight. That's not bad. I'll go to the house on my birthday, and then, you know, we'll fly home a day or two later. I didn't expect to, you know, do a lot, but man, that's a really fun city. And there's this area called the Flats that's looks like it's brand new. It looks like it's just been kind of rebuilt. There's a great place to go see a beach cover band while you get brunch. I don't know, man. If I'm with the Ravens, I kind of want to go to Cleveland a day or so early to kind of check out some of the places around there, because it's actually a pretty cool place to go.
Well, that's a good recommendation, man. Yeah, I mean, I've been in that area, obviously being in Canton, Ohio, Akron, Ohio, just not Cleveland. So I guess from your recommendation, Cleveland truly does rock, huh?
Yeah, I'm like Drew Carey. I'll tell you, Cleveland rocks. But man, if you want to go to Cleveland maybe next year or something, let me know, because I would definitely go back to Cleveland for a game. But you know, there's a lot of history between the Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. But let's talk about the transformation the Cleveland Browns have gone under. They've got a new number one quarterback. This isn't the same team that started the year. They got one win under their belt. They have a tie as well. This isn't going to be like a game you can skip, you know, if you got something to do on a Sunday. This isn't one to walk away from if you're a Ravens fan, because I think Cleveland's going to put up a fight.
They are, but here's the thing. Haven't they always put up a fight in recent past, even without this kind of team? I mean, remember last time me and you watched the Browns game together, wasn't it 20-0?
Let's see, I think it was.
Yeah, it was 20-0. We were watching at the casino together, and then we came back and won that crazy fashion. Who could forget the Monday night game, the kick six by Will Hill? You remember that? So, you know, who could forget these kind of moments? So I feel like the Browns, they've beat us. I mean, remember the Phil Dawson weird field goal that hit the goalpost and it was called no good, but then it was good and it won the game. I mean, we've had some fair share of these Cleveland wins, but Joe Flacco's in Cleveland as of late, man. It's like we play Cleveland, it's almost automatic for Flacco and the Ravens. But no, you're right. Especially with this NFL, you can't take any opponent lately. I mean, we've seen the up and downs in 4 weeks already with teams that, you know, you think, oh, this is gonna be a wax over, and then, I mean, remember who could forget the Bills? They were up 27-0 on the Vikings in Minnesota. So anything's possible with anything this year. So, and how bad the Bills got beat by us is just, who knows, man. So, and then with the addition of here, you know, you got Baker Mayfield as a rookie quarterback, dynamic. We've never seen him before. So that's a wrinkle into this rivalry in this year in 2018. And then also, you have Jarvis Landry. We've seen him in down in Miami, but again, we have to see him twice a year now. No Josh Gordon, but they gained a Jarvis Landry. He's a playmaker. They got Carlos Hyde, who's run the ball so far so good this year for him. Chubb. How about Chubb turning out a great performance on Sunday? So the rookie there, they got some weapons, man. And defense ain't no slouch. You know, they got Garrett. They got a good nucleus. They got Ward. So I'm definitely respect that factor of they do have playmakers. They're not a wet walkover. They took Pittsburgh to the brink, and I swear, hey, if they had a kicker, they'd probably be right there with us, because look. They have any kicker near close to, not saying a Tucker caliber, but they had just any kicker that's good. They beat Pittsburgh. They should have beat the Saints, which was crazy. They were up on the Saints in the fourth quarter. So, and that was in New Orleans. So this isn't, you can say this ain't your same Ravens. This ain't your same Browns either. But again, rookie quarterback, I know it's on the road, but rookie quarterback, Ravens usually have fared well and always have fared well so far under Harbaugh with, I think, the rookie quarterbacks only taking one, maybe two wins. I know Mitch Trubisky got us last year, who, hey, he threw six touchdowns this past weekend, so against the Bucs. So, more power to that team, but and what they're doing. But the Browns. I would say I'm concerned, but I never want to use the word scared. I'm not scared. No, we're not scared of anybody. They should be scared of us and the completeness of our team right now on both sides of the ball. But yeah, you're right. There's that. What if factor, like, oh, what if the Browns get up, or what if we can't contain Mayfield, what if he runs, or then I feel like this isn't a, you're right, like this can't just, oh, let's mark it down as a W, let's go shopping on a Sunday, and oh, we won by 30, great, and it's the Browns. This is going to be a dogfight again. Second out of three, and this is a three-game road trip. We got one under the belt, which is very important in Pittsburgh. Got another divisional game in a row, win the road. This week. So, you said it might be a beautiful city, but it's going to be an ugly game because it's going to be one of those slobber knockers again. AFC North battle, bitter rivals, man. Ravens, Browns. It's, the old and new Browns here. So, and the Browns have had their bad luck, and I'm happy they got their win out of the way so they don't have the opportunity to get it against us. But I want to level on this and focus on this. Do you realize that Baker Mayfield is the 30th starting quarterback since 1999 for the Cleveland Browns?
30? Wow.
But and then we want to complain about Flacco around here, right?
People love to do that.
And I talked to a Browns fan this weekend. My lead pastor at my church, he's actually a practicing. He's a hardcore Browns fan. Much respect to that. And he actually, and we were talking on Sunday before, everything got popping here, and And I put it in perspective. I was like, because it's the first time I've seen him since the Browns won the game, their first game back Thursday Night Football against the Jets. And I kind of congratulated him and said, man, you got your team got your first win and all that. But I looked at him and I said, I want to put it in perspective here that you're a long-suffering Browns fan, but you stuck with them. I mean, hey, just on our side, on the other side of the road here, the Orioles had one of their worst seasons ever, and you got to stick by them. I mean, the Ravens have had some dark days themselves, but let me put it in perspective. Not only Baker Mayfield's quarterback and all that, and their 30-star quarterback, and we have Flacco here, but just the level set here. The last three seasons, or two, three seasons counting this year, the Browns have had, what, one win and a tie in the last 2 years. If you even go back the last 3 years when they were 1-15, they had two wins and a tie in over 700 days, spanning 2 years, two and a half seasons almost. And then we want to complain because we were 9-7 last year, didn't make the playoffs, and we were one play away from making the playoffs. Granted, we had the same record as the Bills because of the tiebreaker they got in. You're telling me that we went 8-8 the year prior. I mean, how many years have the Ravens won? The worst game, the worst season the Ravens have had in franchise history was in the late 90s when they were a baby franchise. They went 4-12, and then ever since then, their worst season was 6-10. So don't sit there and tell me. And you know what my pastor said? He goes, "That's because y'all are spoiled." I'm like, be honest with you, we are, because you sit there and you complain about Flacco, but what if we had 30 starting quarterbacks? I mean, dude, it just really just gets under my skin, man. I can't stand it. Yeah, Flacco's been inconsistent and all this and all that, and he should have done this and didn't play up through the year of his contract. But granted, he got hurt for one, okay, right? Two, we haven't had playmakers like this since Bolden, so, give the guy a break. But here's the thing, and everybody goes, no, quarterback to that level should raise – the level of others play. The fact remains is Flacco's been that X factor in consistency at that position. And the reason why the Browns are in turmoil isn't because they're just sucky and bad. How many first round picks have they had? I mean, hey, if the Ravens had that many first round picks, I'm sure we would have like 10 Hall of Famers by now. So don't tell me it's not that. They run their franchise backwards, in the front office. And for that reason, They just don't do things well. You know, they're Browns. They always say the Browns are going to brown, the Bengals are going to bangle and all that. That's the cliche. But, you know, we had the more consistent approach. And right now they're entering the Baker Mayfield era, and the Ravens are going to get their first taste of it on Sunday. And I really think that the way the Ravens contain Pittsburgh, they can do the same thing to Cleveland, man. It's this. They're going to show this rookie quarterback, hey, and he's got to be concerned, man. The Browns have a handful on Sunday. You know, they only got Flacco and Smokey Brown and this high-powered offense coming in, you know, but you got this defense. You shut out Pittsburgh in the second half. And still to this day, Brandon, this team for the four games has not allowed a second-half touchdown.
They're the only team
to do it right now in the NFL.
That's absolutely crazy.
That's the X factor. It is crazy. And then you're talking about taking that stat and then going up against a rookie quarterback on Sunday. Granted, it's on the road. I don't care. They just beat Pittsburgh on the road on Sunday football. Anything's possible at this point. You know, we exercised those demons a while ago in the playoffs. We beat New England twice in the playoffs before. I ain't worried about it. You know, but, you know, home or away, it doesn't matter. It's still a rookie quarterback. And I feel like the way the Ravens have this complete team right now, I mean, yeah, the Ravens can lay an egg. And there's always that what if, that what if this offense don't go off the bus and Flacco throws a pick six and here we go. We're in the hole seven. Anything's possible. But just looking at it on paper, looking at it, how the Ravens have trended so far this year. I mean, remember what happened last year? I mean, you have to take each game for what it's face value, because remember how good the Ravens were last year starting off? They shut out the Bengals on the road 20-0. Mm-hmm. They won their second game. They're 2-0, and they're going to London in week 3 against Jacksonville. Jacksonville thinking we're going to skull drag them and have a good time in London, and then they skull dragged us, and then the whole thing imploded. So it happens. And the year prior, we lost 4 straight games. They were 3-0, and they lost 4 straight, and they were 3-4. So you can't get too excited, because you're only good as your last game. So the Ravens are fantastic. They're freaking phenomenal right now. But then you're only good as the opponent that's in front of you. And if you don't play well, they're going to clip you. So that's the way I look at it. So I still feel like this is a great one to get. You know, go 2-1 in division, be 4-1, and just keep riding high. They can definitely take this on the road. I think this is a 27-10 win, by the way, for the Ravens. I really think that they're going to have their hands full early, but I think they're going to make the adjustments, and I still think the streak continues here for a no more second-half touchdowns, and against the Browns it'll be 5 straight games. But I think the focal point will be to make the Browns one-dimensional, the Ravens to get up early, hopefully, and really get up early and often, and make the Browns one-dimensional, maybe get some more interceptions. You know, we're lacking. And speaking of that, I know we got a pick on Sunday night. But one thing I wanted to say is, how about Tony Jefferson stepping up? He had forced fumble turnover. I knew he was down by contact, could have been a touchdown, but he stepped up, made a play, and we haven't really heard his name much there. So kudos to Tony Jefferson getting that. So I feel like this could be the recipe for making the Browns one-dimensional, because the running attack I don't think is that strong. So especially against our team now, and not only that, but I think we're bringing in some reinforcements here. I think the Ravens are help me out here. Aren't they getting healthier right now?
They are getting healthier, supposedly. There are 3 names that you will be hearing for the first time this season in this game, and that is Jimmy Smith, Hayden Hurst, and Willie Henry. All 3 Ooh. Potentially could make their debut this Sunday against the Browns. What does that mean for this team to have each of these guys back?
It just means that much more, because you're playing so well now, and then you're getting players back. And Jimmy Smith, again, wasn't coming off an injury. He was suspended. Now, the F factor, and even Harbaugh alluded to it, if he's in shape and ready to play, Jimmy Smith's going to play on Sunday. But you don't know what kind of shape Jimmy Smith's in. I know Hurst is rehabbing his injury, and he was in practice, and they'll clear him to play. It means he's good to go. Mosley, we already knew, came back, and he had a great game, and I feel like that was an X factor for us and was overlooked because we just expect him to be in there. He's healthy, and he does his thing. And if we can get Willie Henry out there, man, I'm really excited to see if we can get everything body back. But let's just start on Hurst, man, because this tight end position, it's been a who's who in open in the field. I mean, Nick Boyle's had a share. And Max Williams has gotten in the mix. And then Mark Andrews, man, you know, against Denver. I mean, he's been in there. Now we get a fourth tight end. And this is going to be interesting leading up to this week, and we'll cover it as it breaks. But how about the roster moves? Because who are the Ravens going to get active, and who are they going to remain inactive to make room for Hurst? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to keep, you know, because Andrews is that rookie, are they going to keep Andrews, Williams? Is Nick Boyle the I man out? Are they going to keep Hurst, Andrews, and Williams? And I think for Boyle, he's the I man out here. You know, Jimmy Smith, now they just get more stronger in the secondary. But I'm going to cover it. Jimmy Smith's the X factor here because, yes, he's our best player on defense. Arguably in the secondary, he's a shutdown corner. But I want to pass on some notes to you. I want to pick your brain here a little bit to see what you think, okay?
All right.
So with Jimmy Smith last year, okay, he played 12 games for the Ravens. The defense allowed 198 yards per game, okay? But that's with Smith, okay? Without him last year in the four games, the Ravens, it jumped to 259 yards per game. So, okay, so you already know the Jimmy Smith X factor there. The Raven, and this is pass defense. This isn't total defense because you have to add rushing. So it's just passing, secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Pass defense this year, without Jimmy Smith, we're even below the mark in 2017 in four games. We are 193 yards per game allowed passing. So I pose the question to you before, you know, I'll jump in after you. But what do you think goes on this week? If Jimmy Smith is healthy and in shape and ready to play football for us, do we feel like it's kind of that mojo? Remember how again, not the same position, it's a totally different team, but the question was when for the Buccaneers, we already know what happened there, but for the Buccaneers prior to that, you know, they were already talking, okay, do you ride out the Fitzmagic train, or do when Jameis Winston comes back, do you throw him back in? You always have to ride the hot hand. So if Jimmy's healthy, do you give him a starting job back, or do you don't mess with the mojo of the defense and do you wait it out? I mean, obviously you have to start him, but do you really think that you're going to sit Jimmy Smith when he comes back? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the mojo, but do you feel like we can sustain that 193 yards a game allowed?
I think with Jimmy Smith on the field, this is a better Ravens team. You know that there's no denying that. I think Jimmy Smith, he adds a new dynamic to this team, and the fact that he's coming back in week five, and he's, you know, he's hasn't played in a while, he's healthy. I don't know who you waive or who you sit and who you move to the practice squad instead, but yeah, of course Jimmy Smith is going to be on the field. He's going to be taking up that lead spot, and Marlon Humphrey, maybe he doesn't play as much. Maybe we'll see him on the sidelines more than we actually see him on the field. That'll be a big question mark. But yeah, Jimmy Smith, he's coming back. He's taking his lead role back. He's going to be the number one guy out there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I feel like the Ravens at this point, they can't play around with that. Jimmy's, if he's healthy in football shape, you got to throw him in there. It's just fun to talk about. Interesting stat line to monitor, but you're right. The Ravens are a better defense, and only even better. I mean, you're talking about a defense right now who's top five in the NFL after four games, not allowing a second-half touchdown. But I can see it now, and I don't want to jinx this or even go there, but it's kind of funny even thinking about this. You put Jimmy in, let's say it's garbage time, and that we're up by three scores, and Jimmy Smith lets up a long touch, or on his end of the field, lets up a long touchdown, and we break the streak. I can hear the punish now. Oh, man, it's a liability, but you got to laugh at that. You don't know what's going to happen, but you're right, man. Jimmy Smith still that shutdown corner, the best secondary player we got. But I tell you this right now, Brandon Carr has been formidable. There was a great few pass deflections on Sunday night that were beautiful. One was in the back of the end zone when Juju tried to catch it, and Carr just swatted it out. Tavon Young. I have my concerns, though, because remember how bad Thursday night was, and we could not cover A.J. Green to save our life? Like, so that's what brings me back to that. Yes, they shadowed Antonio Brown well, and they've done so far well, and they're 3-1. But I always revert back to that Thursday night game, man. A.J. Green did catch three touchdowns against us. Mm-hmm. Now they're all in the first half. So the Ravens, you have to grant it, the Bengals only scored 6 points in that second half of that game. They had 20. It was 20-14, and we lost, 23-34. So, you know, they only kicked two field goals in the second half. Pittsburgh had 14 points at half, none in the second half. Same thing. Broncos have 14 points in the first half, no more in the second half. So I feel like if they want to really keep that, obviously Jimmy Smith gives us a way better advantage, but that's exciting. You're adding Jimmy Smith to an already crazy good defense. You're getting Hayden Hurst back to already crazy good offense right now. So it's just, hey, it's more toys in the toy box to play with, man. And I'm really feeling it. But what makes me excited, though, is not only the Ravens are the most complete team I feel in the AFC, other than the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have their problems on defense. I'm talking about complete team. Not Chiefs are 4-0, and we know what they are. They're a one-sided offensive output. But there is something out there. I want to throw this out there. We know the Rams are 4-0, and right now the Rams and Chiefs are the only two undefeated teams in each respective conference and the NFL entirely. But the Ravens boast a top five offense and defense total. The only other team to do that right now in the NFL through four games, is the L.A. Rams. They have a top five offense and top five defense, and we know what the Rams are, and we know what the Ravens are. And how many times do we talk about the Ravens, what the word is, identity? We always ask, well, who are the Ravens? Are they a run-first team? Are they a pass team? Are they defense? What are they? We now know that we're a complete team. We're an offense who's explosive. We have playmakers that we can hang with you and especially jump out to the lead, and we're a defense that can say, you know what, enough's enough. Good luck. So that's the way I see it. No more second half touchdowns allowed. They get a field goal in the second half, but I don't think they snip. They get an early touchdown maybe somewhere in there, but I feel like the Ravens are just going to come out and handle this and handle business.
I think the Ravens will come out with a win, and I think Hayden Hurst, I think he's getting his first full-time touchdown on Sunday.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, he's got him in the preseason, but come on, they didn't really count. All right, Josh. So for this this episode of The Call, have we covered everything?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we are always sharing all kinds of cool Raven stuff. And Josh goes on Facebook Live every once in a while. So definitely check that out. Josh and I are going to be hanging out this weekend for his birthday. So everyone, make sure you wish Josh a happy birthday on the Facebook page. And we're going to be watching the big Conor McGregor fight on Saturday. Do you want to talk about that? Who do you got winning that one? Is it going to be Khabib or Connor?
Ooh, it's going to be awesome. This one's been hyped up. You cannot go wrong with Connor, man. I mean, there was something out there, and don't get me wrong. I mean, Connor's Connor. We know what he can bring, and Khabib's going to bring it too as well. But the whole incident and all that, everybody's saying, you know, Khabib's going to get him for revenge and retribution. And there was something on the radio today where they were like, okay, well, you know, Connor made all this money fighting Mayweather in that boxing match. Is he going to really be hyped for this fight? Dude, it's Connor McGregor, man. And I feel like this is going to be a first-round knockout for Connor against Khabib. But, hey, anything's possible, man. I'm hoping for a good fight. But what side are you on, man? You on Khabib or Team Connor here?
I love Conor McGregor. I think the dude's hilarious. I love the fact that he can talk so much trash, but he still backs it up. It'd be different if he wasn't able to back it up. But, man, the guy can definitely back up all of his trash talk. But I will say this. I am a little concerned because I think he's a little out of focus on his MMA career. I mean, if you watch that press conference he had, what was he hyping up? His Irish whiskey. So the dude's a businessman, and I kind of think, you know, his head may be in a different place than the octagon, where Khabib, that's all he has to live for is that octagon, and that's what he's focused on. So I think Connor's going to win. I think it will be a knockout, but if this fight goes past two rounds, Khabib's got it, because Connor has never been able to withstand a long fight. He doesn't have the stamina for it.
Well, and he had a long fight. Again, I know it's MMA versus boxing, right? But he kind of had Floyd there, and it was impressive in the first couple rounds. But then as that match went on, you know, Floyd did what he does best in that boxing round, and he ended up getting him and got Connor. But Connor was more impressive in that realm, and we already know what he can do in octagon, but you're right, man. And it's almost like how Rousey used to be dominant. Rousey had these arm bars all the time and knockouts in the first
rounds in the first minutes and seconds where it's like the longer it went on for Ronda in her career, you kind of felt bad because it was going to not go her way. So, yeah, if Conor can get out quick and early on him, it's going to be one for the ages, man. And I can't wait to celebrate my my birthday weekend. Obviously, for those who don't know, this Purple Friday is my birthday here. So it's going to be a crazy week. Weekend, I should say. We got the Wrestling Super Showdown. We all got the fight. I know you're going to be a part of that. Jimmy's Famous Seafood with us and the festivities. It's going to be a fun weekend, man. And to cap it off, let's beat the brownies. Let's bake some brownies and kind of pun on Baker Mayfield's name and baking brownies. But really feel it this weekend on Sunday, man. And let's bring home another division win.
That's right. And remember, we do this show for free. You guys listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. And pulling double duty here. Red Eye Review, Purple Friday Preview. I can't wait to get it going. Guys, it was a fantastic game to beat Pittsburgh in the fashion we did. And to silence them all, the shut up the little the towel waving fan base, and we're going to move on to the Brownie fan base, man. They got their first win out of their system. Let's hope they don't get their second win against the Ravens, and let's show them the top five offensive defense that we're going to tote around here, and let's bring it up to Cleveland and really flex our muscles. And this team's complete. After the first quarter of the year, the Ravens are 3-1. Actually had them at 3-1 at this mark in the season. Granted, had them at 3-0 facing Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh beating us. Didn't have Pittsburgh at the record they beat, but this is why they play the games. But my record of prediction, not to sit here and count wins and losses and who's right and who's wrong, but feels good that we're 3-1, doesn't it? And it slowly looks better on the divisional standings with right now, as it stands, with the division, Ravens and Bengals tied at the top in 3-1. Bengals half a game lead with that tiebreaker until we even it out later this year. And the Steelers and Browns, 2-1. So you're talking a Steelers team and a Browns team that have one win after 4 weeks. Ravens are 3. And not only that, but looking at the AFC, man, wow. The Patriots are 2-2. The Ravens are 3-1. So even keeping pace in the AFC race, me and my dad were talking this week, how crazy would it be if the Ravens keep pace and the Patriots can lose a couple more games, man? And but the Ravens can snag a top seed, and that'll be the advantage. Having a few home playoff games, getting a bye, and getting right to the division round. Not to jump ahead of ourselves, but these are the kind of things you get these wins out early and build momentum. And hey, it's going to look good, but hey, you got to get past the Browns on Sunday. We're moving into a new month, second quarter of the season. Man, I can't believe it's week 5 of the NFL already. Don't depress me too much, but let's enjoy the ride, every game, every moment. That being said, let's go to Cleveland and Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.